So what with the ever cool Miles Davis? I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
And we're building bridges. Governor DeSantis says, get back. Public workers say, fight back. Yes, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis takes aim at diversity, equity, and inclusion in education, admissions, and curriculum, and teaching, and the teachers, and is actually gunning to decertify the teachers' unions, indeed, all the public worker unions.
But say Andrew Spahr, president of the Florida Education Association, the state's largest association of professional employees, and Anna Fusco, president of Broward Teachers Union, hell no. Santos may say get back, but we're fighting back.
And we're going to stay woke for student rights and worker rights. Andrew Spahr, teacher and president of the Florida Education Association Teachers Unions, and Anna Fusco, Broward Teachers Union president across the country, educators, historians, people of African ancestry, and all who fight for a truly democratic society, and which must be an egalitarian society, are quaking over Florida Governor DeSantis saying that middle schoolers should be instructed that, and I quote, slaves develop skills which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit, end quote. And while he seeks to enact some of the most substantial state law limits on public sector unions since Wisconsin's labor crackdown a decade ago, Andrew, Anna, help us connect the dots between DeSantis's views on education and behavior towards the public sector workers and their organizations of advocacy. The freedom to belong to an effective union is under ferocious attack. We welcome you on another hot, steamy night, notwithstanding the cool Miles Davis ushering us in.
Always having Miles Davis is a good way to start any show, so I appreciate that as a
and
music teacher.
And you should, because you were a music teacher.
Yes, I was. As you pointed out, educators and all workers, quite honestly, are under attack in the state of Florida, but we tend to be at the tip of the spear in terms of what Governor DeSantis is trying to do in Florida, and I think a lot of it has to do with that. Educators are willing and will stand up for our students, for our public schools, and for our communities and country. Like no one is more connected to communities than teachers and staff and professors who work in our schools and on our college and university campuses. Because of that, Governor DeSantis sees us as his political enemy. We believe in robust debate. We believe in the ability to have civil conversation. But Governor DeSantis doesn't believe in people speaking differently than he does, and therefore he's come after us. And what he's trying to do in the state of Florida is silence the voice of educators, silence the voice of workers by threatening us and saying if we do not have at least 60% of the bargaining unit as a dues-paying member. Keep in mind, Florida is a right-to-work-for-less state. People don't have to belong to the union. Even if they support the union, they don't have to pay dues. So he's set that threshold. It's an arbitrary number. And it's because we had over 50%, almost 60% in most of our teacher locals. And so now he's trying to up that percentage to make it harder for us. He's taken away the right of our members to pay their union dues as they see fit, through paycheck deduction, which is the easiest, safest way for them to pay their union dues. And he's doing everything he can to make it hard for us to be able to come together in our union, have a collective voice, and to have collectively bargained contracts.
Let's talk a little bit more about the attack on what students are learning, especially Black Lives Matter, and the things that DeSantis is trying to squelch in terms of what may be said or done by the students. So what else is involved besides slavery might not be so bad?
Looking at an approach where it is a press on people, press on education, press on thinking, press on the young. It's a controlling agenda to where he seems to have built a little bit of ground here in Florida. He believes that there's been an influx of people coming in from all over because we're the free state. We are having plenty full of jobs and opened up businesses and while everybody else overreacted about COVID. So he set this agenda system really closed-minded radical type people to where they have these beliefs that only they are the special person. And now they want to bring it into where the very population that is the most is in our school systems. If we work to dummy down our youth, to tell them how they should be, what they should read, how they should act. I mean, look at some of our public school sectors are even looking into what type of book bag and lunchbox you should have in school. Everybody should be the same. It is all a control system that he's putting in place to where he can have everybody like-minded, and then let's incorporate changing what has really happened, continue to feed the false narrative, and that will just continue to dummy people down and just to follow what he feels that he... So this is the type of agenda that he is strongly trying to bring and feels he's going to succeed outside of Florida. And what better place to take action is in the largest group where the largest population of people that are employed are teachers and all of our support staff. And who do we interact with besides ourselves daily is our youth population that attends the public schools. It is all a control factor.
So there's this terrifying pushback against what they're calling critical race theory. But is this actually, and then I do want to connect those dots with workers, with teachers, is this actually an insidious effort, if you will, to kill public education in its entirety and absolutely privatize and charterize public education in this country? Is it so much more, are the culture wars being used to fan the flames in order to really a much more, well, I don't know how much more you can be insidious, but a terribly insidious purpose, which is to destroy public education in its entirety. Am I too far afield in that?
100% you're right on target. So let's look at what's happened in Florida, right? A little over 20 years ago, almost 25 years ago, Florida adopted vouchers and charters, and every year since has expanded access to charters and vouchers and made it harder for the public schools. And during that same 20 some odd year period, 90% of students in the state attended public schools 25 years ago. 90% of students attend public schools in Florida today. They failed in their mission to privatize public education. And so what we're seeing now, I believe, is the next iteration of this attack on public education, this attempt to divide teachers amongst each other, staff amongst teachers, and most importantly, parents among teachers. They're trying to create this narrative that somehow teachers and staff and people who work in our schools have this nefarious motive. They're trying to indoctrinate kids. This idea of creating fear that somehow teachers are doing something wrong. But the parents and teachers work together all the time. We have to in order for kids to learn. You know, I'm a parent as well. I have two daughters. One's now in college. One's going into high school. I go to open house at the beginning of the year, like so many other parents, because I want to meet my daughter's teachers. I want to know what they're going to be learning. I want to make sure they have my cell phone number, my wife's cell phone number, our email addresses, and that we can communicate. And guess what? Throughout the year, that's what we do. We get emails. We get text message alerts. Don't forget there's a test coming up. Make sure your child is reviewing their assignments. They turn in their project on time. All of those kinds of things happen because we have to be a team. And what DeSantis and his cronies are trying to do is to divide us. And that's what it's about, going after the African-American history curriculum and really trying to water down our history, to say that we can't have any discussions about gender in our schools and we can't meet kids where they are. We can't have cultural competence taught in our schools or social emotional learning, dealing with the mental health needs of our students. That's what they're trying to ban from the schools. Why? Because if they make it so that teachers can't teach, then parents may look for an alternative. And that's what this is all about. It's about money.
Anna, your thoughts on this? And of course, we're talking about race, but we are talking about issues of immigration status. Then we are talking about LGBTQIA activities as well. All of these have become fodder for attack from the new college to the public school system. So your experience, and you're in a particularly important area, Broward Teachers Union President Anna Fusco.
Yeah, we're really an anomaly here in Florida. Broward is still so extremely well-diverse and populated with every group that you just mentioned. And we work, we get along, we're making it work in Broward, and we're pushing back. And even the governor has said it in so many of his speeches when he's at whatever rallies that he tends to get together with. He points out, wants to change certain areas in Broward. Oh, look, they're red. We can flip them, and we're working on Broward. And who wants to run for school board in Broward in this area? So he's trying hard to take what he feels is a smaller population and make it to his big agenda, to where it only fits, again, his false narratives and his own self-agenda to the population that he seems to feel fits his need. I mean, take a look at some of these groups out there that they're still very small. They just happen to be extremely loud. Some of them call the Moms of Liberty, Fathers of Freedom, Turning Point, groups like that that want to come in and talk about what books shouldn't be allowed in schools, what they feel, you know, their kids shouldn't be going to school, and talk about anything with LGBTQT. We shouldn't offend their child if we're teaching the right pieces of history that, you know, incorporate our Black history. They're creating this narrative that if we can attack the small, diverse populations, we can prevail. What the really big picture is that they might seem small when they're picked at different pieces, but when they band together, they are quite large. The immigrants, the LGBTQ population, Black Lives Matter, all of those different pieces may seem like they're small when they're segregated, but if we get together like how we are in Broward, they are a big unity. And this group out there, they're like little teeny pockets. When I mentioned Moms of Liberty, Fathers of Freedom, but they're all from one group. They're all funded by the big money group that's all funded and traveling through the governor's agenda of teaching hate and teaching separation and bringing up false narratives of book banning and what's not allowed and what is happening but really is not happening. You know, we're not bringing any type of inappropriate materials in our classrooms or teaching standards wrong or trying to indoctrinate children. I'm a 30-year veteran educator. We have worked hard to get our credentials, continue with our credentials, increase our skill set by, you know, earning our master's and other type of informational purposes, like of learning more about ESE population, reading endorsements, and understanding all different types of aspects of the child individually, and then keeping them all together as a whole. And that truly bothers them, because we are doing the right thing and we're trying to make our students productive citizens when they grow up and become adults, to be smart, to be thinkers on their own, to read what they need to, you know, want to understand, to learn and grow. And what way to stop that is to bring out this false narrative of all of these wrongs are happening and villainizing the educator and then targeting these type of groups to where they feel like we don't matter, we're small, and if we speak out, we're not going to make a difference. But we have to keep together and having conversations like this, having talk shows willing to talk about it and bring out the truth and bring out what's right. And I just know that we're going to prevail. Like Andrew said, when they tried 25 plus years ago to privatize and take over, and which he's really strongly doing now by bringing in these bogus vouchers for the most wealthy, what's $8,000 going to do for a millionaire? Let's be real. And what private schools are really going to really sustain to hold on to people that can only bring in a voucher of $8,000? How are they going to fund the other $40,000? All of these little aspects are not going to be enough to take away our children from our public schools, because the teacher is there for one reason. We want to get in there. We want to do the right thing. We want to educate. We want to make productive citizens, because we know that they're our future. And I think if we all keep doing this together and having great conversations and bringing out what's really true and right, we're going to keep prevailing.
One of the ways that DeSantis is trying to break the unions is through mandatory dues collection, getting rid of that, and establishing a 60% minimum for people who are in the union. Can you talk about why that's so important?
So let me start by giving some context to how we operate in Florida. So Florida is what is known as a right-to-work state, or we call it a right-to-work-for-less state. There's never been agency fee. There's never been mandatory dues or fees for teachers or public employees in general in Florida. You choose whether or not you want to belong to your union. And if you choose not to belong to your union, the union is not obligated in the state of Florida to represent you in grievances or arbitrations or other employment matters if accusations are made against you or if you feel like you've been wronged in some way. So we only represent members in that aspect, but those who are not members are definitely covered by the collective bargaining agreement and the contract that we negotiate. And so we have union memberships that vary all over the state. Some of our strongest unions have 80, 90% of the bargaining unit as a member, a dues-paying member. And then we have some that are not as strong, and they may only have 30% of the bargaining unit paying dues. This attempt to change things here is to, one, take away our right to collect dues and our right to pay our dues through our paycheck, what's known as payroll deduction. And so the governor, in his legislation, banned the ability for us to collect dues through payroll deduction. We are fighting that in court right now, and we're fighting it in court because many of our contracts did not expire this year. And there's a requirement in federal law that they can't pass laws that impugn contracts already in existence. It's a constitutional right that they cannot retroactively essentially pass laws that take away the rights of individuals covered by a contract. So we are suing over that aspect. Another aspect of the bill is that 60% of the bargaining unit must be dues paying members. And if they're not dues paying members, then the union has to jump through a bunch of hoops and the employees have to jump through a bunch of hoops to keep a union. Well, why is that important? If they lose their union, they lose their contract. Our right to belong to a union and our right to have a collectively bargained contract through that union is found in the Florida Constitution. And so they're trying to make it harder and harder for public employees to belong to their union and to keep their union and their contract. And so they've added this arbitrary 60% threshold. It was 50% for teachers only in Florida. Now it's 60% for all public employee unions in the state of Florida. And I'll tell you, if we get to 60%, I guarantee you they'll try to raise it to 70. And if we get to 70, they'll try to raise it to 80, because the mission here is to destroy the voice of the collective voice of workers in the state of Florida. And there's other aspects of this legislation as well. For example, they require all local unions to do an annual certified audit by a Florida certified public accountant. So an average audit costs between $12,000 and $15,000 a year. We have some really small local unions. They only have revenue of about $5,000, $10,000 a year, meaning they couldn't afford the audit and therefore could be put out of their union. And then the craziest thing that in this legislation is that the Public Employees Relations Commission, which is a three-member commission appointed by the governor, could at any time say a local union is lying, is not being honest, or is not cooperating, and then they can just decertify the union and take it away altogether without any due process whatsoever for that local union.
Now, you've said all unions, but are they all unions? What about the cops union? What about the...
That's a very good point. As I said earlier, this is because the governor sees us as political adversaries. He does not see law enforcement, firefighters, correction, and probation officers as adversarial unions. They are exempted from everything I just mentioned, but all the other public employee unions, teachers and college professors and our staff in our public schools, as well as city workers and county workers and transport workers, or bus drivers, city bus drivers, for example, they're all covered by this bill that was passed by the legislature this year.
And nurses and interns also in hospitals?
Correct. Absolutely.
Where does this leave us? You fully have, Anna, talked about that in the context of students and the collectivity of the students in Broward. So aside from litigation and going into the courts to attack this attack on workers, let's give the politics about why it's so important to defeat right-to-work states, which are about not having workers have a collective representation for their blood, sweat, and tears, and the benefits of their work, grievances, procedures, all these things. Why is it so darned important, and why is it like hand in glove that DeSantis is attacking workers and worker-based organizations? Anna, Andrew, give us your thoughts on that, and my God, what are folks doing about that? Aside from the courts, are they building labor-community relations? What do we do to protect our workers? Why is it so critical for a democracy?
Not only am I the teachers union president and I'm an educator myself, we are community involved. We all work together to help out the community because we all know the best interest is for our students at the end. So when we're working with partners and other laborers and community members, you know, to work together to bring anything to the student population, we know that our children are going to win. So I've built relationships. We build relationships together. And when this has come about, of course, we get together, we have conversations, we talk. It is all about control and bringing the narrative to where a certain population should prevail. It sounds crazy, but I don't know how anybody else is not thinking it or saying it out loud, that if we're not seeing 1933 Nazi Germany happening right here again, I don't know how else to put it in clearer terms. You know, look at it, how to think, how to speak, book banning, fake narratives, controlling how you should dress, how you should talk, how you should earn the money, who should earn the money, what type of person should earn more money. People doing the same job, but certain people should get paid more, some should get paid less. It's all coming back, trying to come back full circle of what it was before, what so many people worked hard and where that labor union movement came out for the strong working middle class is to where the foundation of our free country came about even stronger. You know, workers' rights, building strength, making things better, having a solid work day, having breaks, having lunch, you know, what it means to have health benefits. All of that comes from unions and the strong working class to bring, to have better. And so you can make a good wage. You can have a day to where you're not completely exhausted, or you might be tired out and you have to retire earlier than you really should, or you get sick and then you don't make it to retirement. All that is the foundation of having a strong working foundation for unions and bringing in that collective bargaining to where it's good for all, not just a certain agenda. We know there's private companies out there and certain companies out there where, you know, it's let's get ours, and who benefits? The people at the top, the rank and file, do the work, get it done, make those companies shine. But who's out there reaping all those strong rewards? It's the top dogs, while the other people don't have those great working conditions, might have the best benefits, but they're still going to work tooth and nail because they want to make some type of a wage to be able to continue to live and have that company strong so they have a job. And they get this mentality, I should just be happy that I have a job. We all know that part of life is working, but you should have a job that you're treated well, that there's great working conditions, that there's great benefits, so you're able to do that job, do it well, pass it on, have a great life. And then what does that do? You put back into society. When you're working well, making a good wage, and you're healthy, what are you doing? You're putting back into society. You earn your wage, you spend it. You might get to go out to eat. You might get to go to a movie. You get to go on a vacation. That is productive. You earn the wage, you put it back into society, and then it's a revolving door. It can't just be where we're going to keep taking, 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 or that is what's going to happen. There's going to be a solid control factor. It's fascism. And again, strong working class, strong unions, people that are able to think on their own, continue to learn, grow, get a skill set. That is the very core of a strong, free country. And that is the very piece of where this governor and some of these very small-minded, very strong, agenda opinionated to one class should be prevailing is where he thinks we're headed, and we just can't let that happen.
Andrew, I know that you and Anna are crisscrossing the state trying to mobilize people into demonstrations to defeat this. Tell us about this. How many towns are you visiting? What's been the reaction? What do the students think, so on and so forth?
Right now, what we're doing is obviously going around the state. Myself, our vice president and secretary treasurer at the Florida Education Association, we are going all over the state talking with members. Our staff is out in the field. Our locals, and Anna Fusco is one of our local presidents. We have about 100 local presidents in the state of Florida for the Florida Education Association. And they are just working day and night, getting back to good grassroots organizing, right? Having those one-on-one conversations, engaging folks at the workplace, at home, and talking about what's happening and why it's so important that we say, I'm sticking with my union, because that's what people are saying all over the country. I mean, you see Amazon and Starbucks and all wanting unions. You're seeing strikes by the writers and the actors. What workers are saying in America today is that those who are greedy, who have a tremendous amount of resources, are trying to not only impact our schools, but they're trying to impact our daily lives and our ability to be able to put food on the table, to live the American dream, to be able to afford to live. You know, we're talking about all this stuff going on in Florida. You know what the number one issue facing residents in the state of Florida right now is? Rising housing costs. Our rent is out of control. So we've got to come together, and that's what we're doing. We're talking with the faith group. It's faith, community, and union. That's what makes change. That's what we're doing.
Well, we've been speaking with Andrew Spahr, president of the Florida Education Association, the state's largest association of professional employees, and Anna Fusco, president of Broward Teachers Union. It's been a pleasure, and we stand with you in union, as Ken and I would certainly always say. Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
And a world to win.
And that's what we're going to make it happen. No more right-to-work states. Workers, we create all the wealth and value of this society, don't we? Thank you so much for joining with us. Andrew, Anna, it's been a pleasure. Stay strong.
Thank you.
Stay union strong. Thank you for listening. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
And we say educate, agitate, and organize to empower we the people. For another world is possible when we have the tools to and work to make it so. So we've got our tasks ahead of us. For Building Bridges, Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.